Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So are we going to be having a funeral service for MSNBC in the next month or two?
Could happen. I don't know. They are on the chopping block. The Comcast, which owns the network, is spinning them off along with some other media holdings.
I would donate toward it.
You mean for the burial?
Help them out.
You'd pay for some flowers.
Flowers. Yes.
Their viewership is way. I mean, they're like under a million. They're like 500,000 or something for a.
And every time we mention their decline and their numbers, you have to remember they have written contracts to be in airports. CNN does.
CNN does, yeah, okay. CNN does. CNN's down, too. I don't know. They've been hemorrhaging over the last few years. I don't know. Fox News, I think Fox News on an average weekday night has 2.5 million, so.
And some of that, a lot of that's contributed to their content and the worldview, but some of that's also contributed to the number of people podcasting and sharing their own, having their own, they're bypassing.
But to your point about the content, so admittedly, this is a Fox News story, but for the week after the election, Fox News finished with its highest share of the cable news audience in its 28-year history. Simultaneously, MSNBC posted its lowest-rated week in over 25 years after Trump's victory.
Yeah, well, it's like life. You know, there's winners and losers, you know? And the Fox won, and
I'm trying to get the
MSNBC lost. Rachel Maddow, did she ever have her cow? Remember I said she was going to have a cow in the air if Trump won?
I don't remember you saying that. I don't think she had a cow, Lou. I'll look it up.
Say, did Rachel Maddow
actually have a cow?
All right, Steve, what's your first story?
All right, I thought we'd check in with the anti-Semite crowd here. They've been feeling a little neglected lately with the election on and everything, and so they're raising their ugly heads, and this is how they're doing it. A new biblical epic is coming to Netflix this Christmas. It's garnering some online backlash, though. The Netflix series is called Mary, and it is
M-A-R-Y.
M-A-R-Y. It's a look at the birth story through the eyes of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well,
On Netflix,
yeah.
So is it going to be authentic to the Bible or not?
I can't speak to that. There is a part of it that is going
to
be
authentic.
But
you're bringing it up for some reason.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, you'll love this. Since Netflix dropped the trailer, it has been relentlessly attacked, this according to Fox News, by the anti-Israel, anti-Semitic critics on social media who are upset because they cast Mary and Joseph with Jewish actors.
Are you serious?
I am serious. And this is what they're saying.
But they were Jewish, right?
Yeah.
Yes. No, they weren't. But several people online are now calling for a boycott, claiming the film is historically inaccurate because they say Mary and Joseph were actually Palestinian.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what they're saying.
They're actors. I don't care what they are. They're paid to perform and be fictitional.
You're talking about the anti-Semites? They're also kind of...
They were Jewish. Listen, I comments on social media, people will warn you, don't feed the trolls.
Right.
So I would not argue with people who would insist that Joseph and Mary were not Jewish. I mean, that's just taking idiocy to a whole new level.
Yep.
And I'm not going to waste my time with those kind of people, but it doesn't even disappoint me, because I did not have the expectation that these morons who hate Jews because they're Jews could bring any kind of intelligence to the discussion.
There you go.
And if it's on Netflix, I expect it to be a liberal Yeah, I expect Mary to be a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph, I'm not going to tell you again, pick up after yourself. I told you, don't leave those sandals there. And you want a sandwich? Are your legs broken? Go make one yourself.
It could be.
Those are all phrases I've heard before.
In that case,
in
do you
life,
think
various people
who will be unnamed?
Yeah.
In that case, do you think Jesus would have to come and do some counseling with his parents? Or?
Oh man, you know this world's just getting nuttier and nuttier.
Next story, Steve.
All right.
You ready to move on?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, I was wasting his time anyway.
I could have gone on.
Yeah.
I assure you.
All right, we are finding out that the FBI launched an investigation into Donald Trump far earlier than we first thought. You remember the term crossfire hurricane? That was the James Comey ordered operation to investigate Donald Trump for Russian collusion, right?
Yes.
Came up totally empty. It was fictitious. They knew it was fictitious when they launched it. They were just trying to smear the guy. But they launched that right about the time he started his term in office. Before that, a whistleblower is reporting that the FBI targeted Donald Trump and his campaign shortly after they announced in June of 2015 they had an agent involved in the probe. The whistleblower disclosure had said two female FBI undercover agents infiltrated Mr. Trump's 2016 campaign at high levels and were directed to act as what they call honeypots while traveling with Mr. Trump and the campaign staff on the trail. A honeypot is when you send a woman in to compromise the morals of the campaign or of the person.
So you can use the individual's moral fall against him.
Right.
It's usually men who fall for these
right
tricks.
Right. And you're coming in and it's not, and the woman, it's Delilah. They're
yeah.
trapping.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good point. That's a biblical example of what we're talking about. So this whistleblower is saying that Comey and the FBI had a opposing party's candidates campaign infiltrated with the hopes of entrapping him.
Were they on
and destroying him?
What made this come up at this point is that were they investigating something and then
the whistleblower came forward? I don't know if it with the change in leadership, maybe he thinks now they
maybe not lose
that
the
is
job.
A good question though.
Want to give something?
I'm curious.
Taken a long time to for this this man or woman to come.
I talked to a friend of mine. Jeff Crank, who is a congressman-elect from Colorado, I wanted to get his thoughts about the bathroom thing, but also whether or not he was going to ask for an investigation. So with a new Congress, the new energy, I think this is the whistleblower may have come forward. I have nothing to back this up, just a thought. May have come forward hoping that the new Congress would investigate. It was something new to put on the thoroughly corrupt FBI.
Mm.
Yeah, that is corruption. Listen, I'll just say this. I hope that President Trump, when he is inaugurated and gets his 4 years underway, that he puts somebody in charge of seriously investigating the intelligence community and the FBI, FISA courts, all this stuff that have been weaponized against the opposite political party. And I hope people go to prison if they've broken laws.
What they're going to call that? They're going to call that political retribution, which you know you can't. You promised to do it. Some people would call it justice,
right?
But yes, he needs to do exactly that. I always snicker a little bit when I hear the Democrats saying that they're worried about weaponizing the government against them. I mean, that's what they've been doing for the last 8 years.
Yes, and they assumed that they would have another 4 years.
Yeah. To hide the bodies.
Yep.
They never consider what could happen, what could go wrong if they lose.
Right. So the same thing happened when they deep sixed the filibuster for Supreme Court justices.
Yep.
They thought we're gonna get what we want and never
change
have to
rules.
Pay the piper, and then the worm turns. I'm mixing metaphors.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know if he was serious, but I did hear a Republican publicly offer to take the Democrats up on their
worm turning?
No, other word turning on their proposal to dispense with the filibuster altogether in the Senate once the new Senate convenes.
One thing, packing the Supreme Court. Yeah, well, you okay with that now?
Yeah.
One thing you're not hearing this go around after the 2024 election is the removal of the Electoral College.
Right.
Because Trump won both the electoral and the popular.
Yep. Yep. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We have a guest. Do we, Ed?
Yeah, we do. We want to welcome Blake Thompson, president of Mississippi College. It's a college here in this state. We're going to talk a little bit about education. Mississippi.
The state we're in.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about a change coming to Mississippi College and why this is impactful considering the state of higher education in this country. So, Blake, welcome to Today's Issues.
Good morning. I am glad to be with you. I'm glad to be calling in to a Northeast Mississippi phone number. I am a Northeast Mississippi native.
Right. Oh, where are you from?
Rienzi, Mississippi.
Okay. On the Tennessee line, almost.
About 30 minutes north of Tupelo.
Yes, sir. We're well aware of it. So you wanted to ask.
Yeah, Blake, first of all, I want you to tell our listeners. Some people may say, well, this is just about Mississippi, but you are making a change. Mississippi College is making a change. And I want to talk a little bit about why I think this is important nationally. So tell us what the Board of Trustees has done for Mississippi College.
Yeah, I'm glad to do that. We have announced that as part of our bicentennial, so we will be 200 years old in the year 2026, oldest university in the state of Mississippi. As part of our bicentennial, we will be changing our name to Mississippi Christian University. And it really is. It's a bold decision. But it really allows us to take our place on the national stage as a preeminent Christian university. We believe we do both academic excellence and we have a commitment to the cause of Christ. And we want to take that to a national stage, and we believe we can do that. We're ready to do that.
Well, Blake, so why in a time when a lot of colleges that were founded as Christian colleges and universities, but have moved towards wokeness or diluted the power of the Christian gospel or the message of the Bible? Why did Mississippi College and the Board of Trustees, why did you all decide to come right out front and say, listen, we're a Christian university?
Because it's a hostile environment. Yes. Out of all times to do it, this is not an easy time. So that's a
right.
good question.
Yeah.
We think it's a great time to do it. We think Amen. More than ever this world needs a message that we can provide. We we do believe we can do rigorous academics
yep.
and be committed to Christ at the same time. And I think the world's actually hungry for that. It's this whole idea of the integration of intellect and faith that we believe we do better than anybody else.
We're talking to Blake Thompson. He's the president of Mississippi College, soon to be. What did you say the new name will be?
Mississippi Christian University.
And so just to be the reason we wanted to have Blake on is to talk about this because they want to proclaim their where they stand. Go ahead.
Yeah, and there's so many other deep-rooted Christian
college
ministries like Crew we've talked about before, who have actually taken Christianity, they're taking the word Christian or Christianity, they're trying to remove it or get away from that so they can open up the tent or make a bigger platform. But he's saying, no, we're proud
yes.
of the name Christian.
And we want parents and students to know that we're Christian.
Hey, Blake,
yeah, we're proud of the fact we're in Mississippi. We don't see that as anything other than a positive. I really do believe if you want to go and solve the hardest healthcare problems in the world, you come to Mississippi to do that. If you want to do things like reform education, you come to a place like Mississippi to do it. We're also committed to the Christian piece of what we do. We say proudly that we're committed to the cause of Christ. And then by every stretch of the imagination, we are a university. A comprehensive university. We have a law school, graduate programs, a robust undergraduate curriculum. I'm proud of all the pieces of what Mississippi Christian University stands for.
Blake, this is Steve Jordahl. This is what I was going to ask you. Is there a technical difference between a college and a university, or is it just what you decide to call yourself?
I think a lot of it is what you decide to call yourself. Traditionally, what we have seen is universities are comprehensive institutions. Several years ago, probably 15 years ago, I remember seeing an article in Time magazine, and the president of Miami-Dade Community College simply referred to his institution as Miami-Dade College, and I believe it has become known as Miami-Dade College ever since. And I think there's a real need for us to differentiate ourselves as a comprehensive university. Yeah. And say that we offer both a liberal arts undergraduate curriculum, but pre-professional programs, professional degrees, graduate programs, all of those things are available on our campus.
Talking to Dr. Blake Thompson. Before we let you go, Dr. Thompson, see here, you your bio says you operate a, quote, small blueberry farm. Is that right?
I have a small blueberry farm in northeast Mississippi, and I'm not very good at it.
I was going to ask you, how do you farm blueberries? I mean, how do you do that? Because
I don't a whole lot. I have a small blueberry farm, about 1,000 blueberry bushes.
Okay,
it's a great place to get away and remind myself of the things that are really important in life. Okay.
Blueberry pancakes.
That's
right.
That kind of borders on misleading people with your bio a little bit. So because it says a, quote, small blueberry farm, and I'm sensing
well,
you got
not
three
producing a whole lot of blueberries for the market.
I'm sensing three bushes out back.
No, he said a thousand.
Kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, listen. All right. Next time you're coming through Tupelo, drop us off some of those blueberries, okay?
I would love to do that. I appreciate all of you. Hey, I'd also love to invite all your listeners out there to come visit Mississippi Christian University and see what we have to offer.
Hey, where's the website? What's the website?
mc.edu.
mc.edu. Thank you, Dr. Thompson. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. So I had you guys got blueberries at all?
I have a couple blueberry bushes.
Yeah, me
that
too.
My previous owner,
your own property?
Yeah, the previous owner of a house, he had blueberries coming out his nose, but he cooked with them and everything.
That's painful.
I can't.
You keep doing that, you're going to have surgery.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
He had a lot of blueberries.
Coming out. I will say this, New England is very, especially Maine, very well known for its blueberries. And I remember in New Hampshire too, but where I grew up, but I mean, big, fat, thick blueberries.
You can't do that here that I've seen. Maybe blueberries.
Because it's so hot.
I don't know. The blueberries that we grew,
I had
a blueberry bush. Did you, Wesley?
I don't have any.
Okay. I had a blueberry bush and it was like, these were like dwarfs.
Yeah.
Okay. Like they were like.
I mean, it's got to be something to do with the weather.
Dwarf blueberries. They never
got to fertilize and keep up.
It was just stuck on the yard. It got no attention.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It got browsed down, too, by animals, too. Y'all's
is that what happens? Anyway, it's a lot of work for.
It wasn't established.
A lot of work for very little,
blueberry,
very few blueberries.
Not that we leave much time on this program to be serious, but to be serious for a minute, Ed, I appreciate you bringing that story in because. As I was pointing out earlier, we see so much of the other way.
Yeah.
Trying to distance themselves. We see a lot of Christian ministries, a lot of Christian education that try to distance themselves from Christianity, and they're doing the reverse.
Yes.
Well, you used an example here because we all grew up, most of us grew up with Campus Crusade for Christ.
Right.
Started by Dr. Bill Bright and Athletes in Action. Well known forever in the Christian community and as being an evangelistic, them and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the two
most influential.
Yeah, on high school and college campuses, especially college campuses.
All over the country. Yeah.
And Campus Crusade for Christ changed their name to Crew, which what does that even mean?
It's just a shortened, they called it, the students were calling it
They said the word crusade was the problem. Campus Crusade.
Oh, because Crusade. Well, see, there you go. That's PC stuff.
That's
for
what
me.
It was. That's where it began.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the word Crusade.
Nope.
Okay. Anyway, it's that what you're saying is, and I don't mean to pile on crew. I mean, I'm sure they're wonderful people who
that work still, there. Yes, but the leadership
tried to change the name because they got spooked by the word Crusade, and you're saying that's how even these.
Well, you can be as hard as you want on them because here's why: is because. Okay. Crew started with all their DEI and their woke changes from the top, and the people on the ground roots, it's like the Methodists, they didn't agree. They disagreed. They said, this is wrong. We're not gonna go with this, by and large. And over a period of 5 years or so, those that worked on the ground level that disagreed with what was coming
probably
up
probably left.
Top, they resigned peacefully.
Okay.
So that's why you don't hear much about it, because they didn't push it to the point where they were
going
to get fired over it. They just said, look, if this is a new direction of Crew, we're out. Okay.
Yeah. One of the reasons that this ministry is coming to mind, Crew is coming to mind, because in the last day or two, we've had a story where fired two Crew staff.
That's right.
Because I think they were husband and wife, I think.
They were.
Because they had a biblical understanding of marriage.
And they fired them?
They
Where did
fired
you get
them?
This story? You remember?
I don't remember that.
We covered it in the news story, okay. In the news.
Yeah,
the other
they fired them because they believed in man and woman marriage, and that was
that's unbelievable.
Too far.
They fired
true.
Them.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that's ridiculous.
The point, and back to the point is, why you have other ministries going in that direction, they're saying no.
Well, go woke, go broke, as they say. And by that, if you go woke as a Christian denomination or a Christian school and you lose your way because you subscribe to wokeness, you will eventually lose your mission purpose, and then you'll lose your people, and then you'll
lose your biblical worldview.
You'll be gone. You'll be out. Either God will take you out or you'll take yourself out with your with your lack
I got more examples. Do we need to get to another story?
What I got something we can end with. By the way, we were having a discussion about Mississippi Christian University around our table. Bicentennial, they actually have a building that at one point housed Robert E. Lee's horses.
Yeah, I was too. So,
all right, hey, you know the Trump dance is all the craze. Well, we've now
I've been doing it.
We've now figured out how different news outlets are covering it. These are the headlines from different news outlets, courtesy of the Babylon Bee, of how they're covering it. Fox News, the headline is Trump mesmerizes millions with hot, sexy dance moves. The Huff Post, the racist roots of the Trump dance, and Salon. Do you know who else danced? Adolf Hitler.
Oh, that's how my God. Are you? These are serious headlines? Oh, okay.
This is the Babylon Bee.
All right.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yes.
They got you, though, Ed.
They did. They got me.
I have a whole bunch of others, but we can.
By the way, I'm just glancing on the internet, searching, coming back to this Crew thing. This couple, the Mundells, they were a great group in the 60s, by
the
way.
They were. I don't know whatever happened to them.
Said the husband told his supervisor that they were asking them to support pronoun hospitality. Yep. And he said, we can't do that. And he was
crew.
Told.
The crew director was wanting to do that?
This
crew
husband,
central. Right.
Crew top down wants you to do pronouns.
And pronoun hospitality. And he was told that he wasn't being winsome. And so they fired the couple.
I'm sorry. Pronoun hospitality.
That was the last couple left.
That was his new pronouns. Winsome, loosome.
Yeah. Well, the last.
That's genius.
Well, the last chapter of Crew, please turn the lights out.
Right. Yes, right. Yes, right.
Oh, my word. That's just ridiculous.
Winsome, loosome. That's.
All right.
I tell you, that's brilliant. That's
probably
3D,
time to end this show before we say
right
something
there.
We will regret. Not that we don't say things we regret already. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.